Angels, Delirium, Liberty by Finley J. MacDonald. Chapter 5. The Fugitive God. Under the yellow blur of his mother's sandal, Clerk's palm bounced, going red while steam from the scalding tub scorched the back of his hand and whooshed in his face. His mother let go his hand to root out the second and draw it toward her. "Is it warm now?" She snatched up her sandal. Somewhere beyond the earth, stretched within a hoop that turned against a white background, Clerk's revolutionary father opened unshaven jaws. Like a bittern, the fugitive god pointed up his nose in wet wind that carried him the scent of armpits, of minor rivers trickling past walls rotten beneath vines, watering armies forgot in wet soil. Arms round his head, Clerk shrank under raindrops breaking from wide leaves. A whisper, passionate, ferocious, "Never, never, never." Among chimneys, the fugitive god faced the sky, tail flicking and quailing on roof tiles. For several minutes, while a tomcat stalked, yowling in a distant channel, he checked thin spots in clouds. At his hip, a round cast-iron vent stewed up muffled commotion from below. Oaken vibrato, grandfatherly and unctuous, squads of cooing angels, orchestral tempests, and apart from the music, a hollering, thumping, marital tumult. The fugitive god knelt. He took the lip of one tile in his fingers, agitated it, and drew it from its cavity. Fitting the edge in his palm, he stood on tiptoe and cocked his arm. He gave the tile a sweep, and it arched out past gables and turrets, struck down in the icy street, and threw broken missiles over the zigzagging cat. Giggling, the fugitive god threw apart his arms. Black wings wiping, he climbed the slate mist. The honeycombed, street-jointed city wallowed in carbonic tea and vanished. Slopes rippled like velvet banners in spume, and then he was caught in thick, clotted mist. Gathering speed, he vaulted out above the whipped continents dusted with pink fallout from the kilns of gods. Like the face of a drowning girl, the world sank away. Soundless lakes of oil swallowed and gave birth to universes. At the edge of the successful dimensions, the fugitive god jigged his way between spiritual storms, sallow and glistening. Twisted husks of ruined time, material slices spurling in and out of nothingness like sheets of peeled flesh. He dipped through cast-off, drifting, merging memories, faint hands dripping over pools, a hangman perpetually at lever, insatiable trap door swishing, rolling, echoing. The fugitive god's hands came to his hips. Stiff as a fertility statuette on an altar, he sailed, a magenta lust cloud building around him. A junk picker imp, legs crossed over a greenish egg, was unraveling a strand of light. Blue and yellow threads trailed from her hands, and brilliant waves passed under her chin. At his yodel, her fingers stopped. Her white, fearful glance went darting, and then, like an alarmed trout, she flashed away. The discarded light strand whirled, glowing weed in an eddy. The fugitive god took up the chase. They streaked past sketched beasts and globes of quivering muscle. Around ravenous, porous, leathery planets. At last she touched down, breathless, at the center of a bouquet of spreading bones, an unfinished frame within a dust of cosmological manufacture. In an instant he had her. Over her, his fingers spoke. Cedars and tranquil paths they found, executions in corrupt cities, dungeons, escape tunnels, Cartrefets, Martin, Fork of Heretics, partings, encounters beside walls like salt cliffs at sea, fall horse, rhinoceros bird, Edematus primigenius, twig bundles unbuckled, wings slack from a surface, expansion galvanized in thought. The body dynamo began to tick, to flush hot and cold, while lime-green floods rushed up bones and overspilled teeth. With his palm, the fugitive god silenced her. Blue, fanning and fading, light as a whisper in naked trees, the sonar of the assassin was slipping. "Are you up there ignoring me?" Clerk pressed his forefinger to the polished rail and gave it a push, and the cradle, stacked to the brim with dolls, blunt toys, and folded garments, wheezed back and forth. His stepfather's voice crackled from below. "There are things even a blind man sees." The cradle nodded and was still. His mother's demand came wobbling up the stairs, angrier. Clerk turned on the landing. He laid his fingers on the banister and let them slide down under faint, regimented floral arrangements in wall suit. At the bottom of the stairs, he shuffled over the dished threshold, and warm air tinged with boiled chicken feathers washed over him. In a rocking chair splinted with lath and twine, clerk's mother hunched close to the stove. From the gray-rooted part, frizzy hair bushed out over beaded bracelets and hands at work on a cigarette. Behind her, past weeds in the window, unpainted concrete faces shoved up blemished, sending smoke toward forge-hot ribbons of cloud. Up the scratch of road slipped figures, automobiles. "In the name of dirt, where have you been? I've been calling and calling. Pick up your feet." His mother pushed her spectacles, ran the bud of her tongue down the cigarette, stroked it, and laid it on the lip of an open cabinet stuffed with sheet music, medicine bottles, and dictionaries. Her hand crabbed in the pouch for more tobacco. At the opposite side of the stove, under tapestry, a wide-bosomed, fox-headed woman before a blossom-crowned gate, clerk's stepfather perched in his chair, intent as a listening mole, hands folded over the head of his cane. "Make way ye, make way ye, mother's prodigy, discreet doorkeeper to lascivious violations beyond number." Clerk veered around him and spread his hands toward the stove. Hot, blurred trails wriggled up the pipe while his mother's bracelets clicked, her fingers carrying pinches of tobacco. "I'd be leagues better off if I married a mute." Clerk raised his collar to his nose. Coal fumes mingled with chicken blood and boiled minerals, breath of some dream of cannibalism, were ghosting in the heat. His stepfather was scoping in clerk's direction. Clumps of hair winged up on both sides of his head, and wrinkles cracked out from eyes volcanic in their slits. His head rolled off toward the ceiling. "Mute, is it? And best, too, without limbs, to gaze up with wild, piteous eyes, to absorb brutality and sacrifice with that selfsame expression. 'Twould be a gift from the gods for such a wife." Oh, the vibration of his own throat strings. He loves that music, does he not? I am only inquisitive how they will sing when I stitch him up with a sheet and wrap him with his own cane. As clerk rolled his swollen hands over the desktop, the rust-streaked kettle musted up a coil of steam, and a red dance showed in a crack under the stove plate. He cupped his fingers near his lips and dribbled saliva. He flicked his fingers at the iron surface, and the stovetop sizzled with minuscule shivering balls. "You've an appetite for more what you've been getting?" said his mother. Clerk wiped his fingers on his thighs. Across the street, a door whapped open. A woman in a nightdress came out, bending over the snow. The door opened again, and a man tumbled down. Another stepped behind, swinging a chain that ended in a padlock. The first rolled, made his feet, and lurched over a low hedge. He loped, hand to his head, the second man striding after. Then it was only the woman, her long dress pale as the snow, her arms waving up and down as if to take flight. The ash handle rattled under the stove. His mother was leaning forward. The bottom stove door clacked, and the ash box skidded to the floor between her feet. She took a cigarette from the shelf. Deep grooved and freckled, her chest lengthened in the shadow above her blouse as she bent to the ash box. She straightened, puffing, spectacles aimed at clerk. Her hand pushed the cigarette butt to him. Keep his mouth busy with that! Clerk picked the cigarette from his mother's hand and shuffled to his father's knees. From the head of the cane, he lifted a hand, soft as a sea cucumber, turned it, and lodged the cigarette between the knuckles. Here, Pappy. The hand climbed and covered the mouth. While the ash box grated and the stove door clacked, smoke churned across gullies in the forehead. The hand came back to the head of the cane, and a deep, officious throat clearing was pronounced. Now it starts, said Clerk's mother. Oh, nations, we, the mutes, the blinds, we are spring maggots and burdock sprouts. We feel our way, we truer children, so close to the earth and yet cut upon its edges. When the winter comes, we will die with the flies, unmourned like ants. Ha! Said Clerk's mother. Listen how daintily he flatters every dragging, useless skack on the whole of earth. Let the nations be his audience. We are in the kitchen. The rocker was rocking itself. Head lowered like a goat gathering for a charge, Clerk's mother stood behind, pushing back her hair. Here, kitchen! Her fingers tugged a hairband behind her head, and she turned and took 5 slow steps past the music stand and table stacked with books. Clerk passed his hands through hot air above the stove and turned toward the kitchen. He brushed along the table, knuckles dragging wood. Before black and white painted keys carved into the table's edge, he made a half turn. His fingers struck a pair of imaginary chords. His battered hand slipped down, tapping an arpeggio.
Aye!
In the doorway, his mother's finger was motioning him in.
Practice later!
At the edge of the kitchen, Clerk stopped and plugged his nose. In a den of mortared rock, arched niches and hung iron pots, his mother's reed slippers squished through a pool of wet feathers. The ice closet door swung shut. Her hand went to a hook on the wall and swept down, and the beer bottle gave a sigh. She hung the opener and placed the bottle beside the cutting board with its bread heel in greased paper. Her hand went groping in her trouser pocket.
What is wrong with your nose?
Stinks. For a moment, Clerk's mother's eyes, orange-knit knights of webs, imprisoned him, and then the coin thudded down next to the beer bottle. She stepped to the sink, and her arm stretched and gave the window quick, bracelet-clicking shoves. A soft, motored hubbub emerged. A spill of cool air was coming down, and then the bristles of the broom were hissing. His mother pushed the pool of wet feathers from the ice closet to dead hearth. The kitchen chair squeaked. The swept floor shone. The buttons of his mother's shirt made a trail up plaid as she sat, folding her spectacles and sliding them to the table.